Good morning, Faith Alliance Church. We miss you here on Sunday mornings, but we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to share God's Word with you. We trust that you're doing well this morning and are following our Savior. I'd like to begin this morning before we look at Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Like to begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many provisions. We thank you, Lord, that in spite of everything that is happening around us in this world, that you are with us each and every day. And we bless your name. Lord, I pray this morning that as we look into your word, that you would be lifted up and glorified, that you would strengthen our faith and our walk with you, and Lord, that you would meet and supply each and every need of our lives, Lord, as we listen to your word. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase, out of the blue? Have you ever had an out of the blue experience? Of course you have. That's when something totally unexpected and unplanned happens to you. There's no warning. It just comes from out of the blue. You can't plan for it. In other words, we don't look for an available date and time in our busy schedules to arrange for an out of the blue experience. Doesn't work that way, does it? It's not like scheduling a dentist appointment for a root canal, as painful and uncomfortable as those can be. It would be helpful to know when we're going to go through an out-of-the-blue experience, but that's not how they work. Life can be moving along smoothly. Good things can be taking place in our lives. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, something happens. We go to the doctor and she sees something in our yearly blood work that isn't very good. Our child is in a car accident. We go to work one morning and we're told to empty our desk. We've been laid off. These and many more are out of the blue experiences. Just a few short weeks ago, we all felt an out of the blue experience and are still feeling it as the coronavirus descended upon our nation and turned our lives upside down. Schools are closed. Many are unemployed and unsure how they're going to pay their bills. Federal, state, and local governments were caught by surprise because nothing of this magnitude has caused such a disruption in our daily lives for many, many years. As a follower of Christ, one of the things that I've seen over many years in my walk with Him is that the trials of life often come to us from out of the blue. And so today we want to consider that as we look at our text. Over the course of spending 3 years with Jesus, his disciples encountered many unexpected trials. On one particular day, the trial came upon them literally from out of the blue. Let me explain. Jesus had been speaking to crowds of people on the coast. He taught them using parables. And he did his teaching from a fishing boat that was pushed a little offshore while the crowd stood on the beach to listen to his message. After a full day of speaking, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." We were told he was already in the boat, and so they started out, leaving the crowds behind. That means 12 disciples jumped in the boat with Jesus. 13 souls in all were on board. Now, the typical boat, fishing boat in Jesus' day, could hold up to 15 men. It was between 26, 27 feet long, about 8 feet wide, and the sides were about 4 feet high. It was constructed of wood, and it used a sail to gather wind for power and a rudder to steer it through the water. It was also equipped with oars in the event that the wind was quiet. Now, a number of the disciples were fishermen by trade and also expert boatmen. They were very familiar with the vessel they were sailing, for they had literally sailed the Sea of Galilee in crafts just like this one thousands of times. And they were acquainted with the sea's peculiar behavior. You see, the Sea of Galilee sits 696 feet below sea level. And because of that, it is susceptible to sudden violent downdrafts and storms. One moment the water can be placid and calm with clouds reflecting off it like a mirror. And suddenly, out of the blue, a powerful storm with furious winds viciously attack the sailors and their boats. The disciples had encountered many of these storms in the past, and they were able to successfully navigate through them. I'm sure they each had a harrowing story or two to share. But on this particular day, the story they would all share in would cause all previous stories to pale in comparison. Beginning in verse 37, we read, "But soon a fierce storm arose. High waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water. Not long after their departure, the storm rocked the boat. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Frantically, they woke him up, shouting, 'Teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown?'" The picture I have in my mind of the storm is from the movie The Perfect Storm, but in a much smaller vessel. Here the disciples and Jesus are in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, facing a storm of epic proportions. It was unlike any storm that the disciples had previously faced. The disciples were being tossed and thrown around like rag dolls, thrown back and forth by the wind and the waves that were battering the boat. The boat was almost completely swamped, probably nearly filled with water. And Jesus, where in the world is Jesus? He's taking a nap in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. He's totally at peace in the midst of this violent storm. I thought about this for a moment. Do you think Jesus knew about the storm? Of course he did. The storm was part of that day's curriculum. Jesus had been teaching his disciples the word, and now he was giving them a practical test to see how much they had learned. After all, as Paul tells us in Romans 10:17, the hearing of God's word is intended to produce faith, and faith must always be tested. You know, it's not enough for us to merely learn a lesson or be able to repeat a teaching. It's not enough just to be able to memorize a verse and recite it. We must also be able to practice that lesson by faith. And that's one reason that God permits trials to come into our life. I believe that's one of the reasons for the storm of the coronavirus, that God wants to test our faith as his followers. Well, the storm the disciples faced would help them to understand a lesson that they did not know and that they needed to know. Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life. Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life. Have you learned that lesson? Many believers have the idea that storms or trials come to our lives only when we've disobeyed God. But that's not always the case. Remember Jonah? He ended up in a storm because of his disobedience. But the disciples got into this storm while obediently following the Lord's instructions. I think of Job. Job was a godly man who had done nothing wrong, and yet God allowed him to go through incredible trials. God doesn't base the trials he allows in our lives on our obedience or lack of obedience. He brings them to us so that we will learn to trust him. As I've looked at this passage and thought about it, I've always envisioned the disciples to be, you know, tough guys. They were fishermen. They were burly men with beards and rippling muscles, and probably many of them with excessive hair. These guys were manly men, afraid of nothing. But on this particular voyage, they came crying to Jesus like a bunch of schoolgirls. They were totally scared to death. And you know something? That's all right. It's all right because Jesus accepts us just as we are. Scared, hurting, a failure, a doubter, a sinner or a saint. It doesn't matter to Jesus. Tough guys turn schoolgirls. He doesn't care if we have it all together when we come to Him or not. He just wants us to come to Him. Now I can imagine as they shook the Savior, the color had drained out of their faces and they looked like ghosts. They screamed, "Jesus, get up! What are you doing lying there? We're going to die! Don't you even care that we're going to drown?" We're told in verse 39, He awoke. You think Jesus was shocked or surprised? I don't think He got up in a panic. I think as He awoke, He probably yawned a bit and maybe stretched. And then He rebuked the wind and He said to the water, "Quiet down." And suddenly, you know what happened? The wind stopped and there was a great calm. Their surroundings changed from a hellacious storm to incredible calm instantaneously. From life-threatening circumstances to peace immediately. Have you ever had a life experience like that and it ended peacefully? This was what the disciples experienced that day. And I believe many will experience something similar with the coronavirus. Following His intervention, Jesus asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in Me?" I think it's important that we understand something here. Jesus is not scolding His disciples. He was not reprimanding them. He was just asking a question because He wanted them to think about why they handled the situation the way they did. He wanted them to understand what was going on inside of them that caused them to react the way they did, and to know that whatever circumstances they found themselves in life, He could be trusted. Their fear in the midst of the storm that day revealed something about each one of them. Their fear revealed that they were not trusting Jesus. Do you know what the antidote to fear is? The antidote to fear is faith. Trusting in Jesus calms all our fears. Their little faith, as referred to here, revealed their faith to be ineffective. In fact, it was defective and deficient. The disciples were right in turning to Jesus, but their faith was challenged because of their fear. And the feeling of being forsaken by God, their faith was deficient. These men had been with Jesus for some time. They sat under His teaching and they witnessed His power at work through incredible miracles. Miracles that literally changed people's lives. So they should have had complete confidence that He could handle the situation. But for some reason, the disciples did not yet understand that Jesus was indeed the master of every situation. Think about that for a moment. Jesus is the master of every situation. In fact, Jesus' own behavior that day before they woke Him should have tipped them off. They could see that He was at perfect peace in the midst of this storm as He slept. Jesus was at peace because He was in God's will, and He knew that the Father would take care of Him, so He took a nap. And as an example to His disciples, Jesus slept in the storm to show them that He was truly secure in God's will. Psalm 4, verse 8 beautifully reveals Jesus' trust in the Father. and the trust that all of us as His followers can have in Him. The psalmist says, I will lie down in peace and sleep. For You alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. How often in the trials of life are we prone to imitate the faithless disciples and cry out, Lord, don't You care? Of course He cares. He awoke and He rebuked the wind and He said to the water, quiet down. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. But Jesus didn't stop the calming elements for the greatest danger was not the wind or the waves, it was the unbelief in the hearts of the disciples. You see, our greatest problems are within us and not around us. Your trial or the coronavirus might seem overwhelming in size, but what is going on inside of many of us is many times far bigger than the trial itself. And this explains why Jesus asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in Me? It was their unbelief that caused their fear, and their fear made them question whether Jesus really cared. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, we are cautioned, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. In the midst of our trials, our greatest hindrance in getting through them is unbelief. And many times, unbelief is present because we have not learned to trust God. How did the disciples respond to Jesus' question? Well, they didn't say anything to Him. Mark tells us the disciples were filled with awe, and they said amongst themselves, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obeyed Him? They were stunned, as I'm sure we would all be, to witness such a spectacular miracle, especially when one that intervened on our behalf and spared our lives. Jesus revealed to them that He was truly God and that they had no reason ever again to be afraid, for their Lord was in constant control of every situation. He is truly the master of every situation. Can you say with certainty that you truly believe that? Is that how you live your life this morning? Even when you find yourself in the midst of an out-of-the-blue experience? In these uncertain times, these fearful times, are you in a panic? Are you fearful that you're going to run out of food or toilet paper? Are you fearful that you might be stricken with the coronavirus? Well, none of us can plan and schedule for the trials that God brings into our lives. We can prepare for them. We can prepare by learning from the ones that He's previously brought us through. We can prepare by growing in our relationship with Christ and our knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. We can prepare by becoming a follower of Christ who is committed to pray. We can prepare by acting in faith upon the Word when put into times of testing. The hearing of God's Word, remember, is intended to produce faith, and faith must always be tested. We can prepare by trusting Christ daily, for in doing so, we come to know that He is the master of every situation, both the small and the great, and the out of the blue. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You that You truly are the master of every situation. We thank You that we can trust You in the midst of the trials of life, that we can trust You in the midst of these uncertain days that we're living here. We thank You, Lord, that You will meet each need and provide for us throughout these days and in the years ahead. We praise You, Lord Jesus, for our relationship with You and for all that You do for us. May we rest in peace, that in spite of a world that seems to be falling apart at times, that You are in control and that You're the master of every situation in our lives. For we pray these things in Jesus' name.